Given us just love the Lord and just all that He's doing right now. And I know He's always done it, but it's like sometimes it just seems like it's more magnified as we just think of His power and His love for each and every one of us, and also having that open channel that we can go to Him with anything. Just praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord's prayer, go to the Lord in prayer this evening, and just ask Him just to be with our service. For all of you watching online, welcome, welcome, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Make yourself at home. We're just going to worship the Lord and just hear His word, spoken word, which is so true, so true. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Sister Susan? Absolutely. We'll keep Brandon in our prayers. Brother Jim? Definitely lift her up. Yes, brother. Absolutely. Most definitely will. God can touch. Anyone else on my right side with a prayer request, spoken prayer request? All right. Anyone on the left? Back in the back in the box? Amen. Praise God. Unspoken. If you have an unspoken prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. You know, God, in His wisdom and His majesty, can see those dark places, and as we might think of them as tears, but He knows our heart. And we're just going to lift the Lord up and just praise Him for His love for us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, as we come to You tonight, dear Lord, we just want to worship You. Lord, we want to thank You for giving us this opportunity to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come together, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, those that are present here now, those that are watching online or maybe watching at a later date, Lord, we know that Your majesty is so great, dear Lord, that You're able to be with us at any time that we call on Your name. Dear Lord, now You've heard the spoken prayer request, dear Lord. We know that You can be with us and with those patients in the ICU right now, dear Lord, and the trauma centers. Lord, those that are going through procedures, dear Lord. Those that are going through recovery right now or rehab. Lord, we're just placing them into your hands. Lord, we know that those have lost a loved one, dear Lord, we're asking you to touch those families now. And dear Lord, for those situations, dear Lord, beyond our knowledge, dear Lord, those things that you know that need to be handled, Lord, we're placing them in your hands. We're asking you to forgive us for our sins, dear Lord. Lord, strengthen and guide us, and dear Lord, let your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, have a free reign amongst us, not only here in this service, but also in our life as we go forward. Lord, may we be in tune with you, and dear Lord, may we just want to lift you up and honor you, dear Lord. Lord, now for those that are traveling now, today, this week, those on vacation, those are out of town because of work, and dear Lord, those that aren't able to be with us, that are sick and shut in, our Lord God, you know each and every situation, dear Lord, we're asking, we're just placing them in your hands. And dear Lord, we're asking you now to bless our pastor and his family. Dear Lord, strengthen Brother Eddie's back, dear Lord, as he goes forward. We know that you've already healed it, but Lord, we're just asking you, just continue to strengthen him. And dear Lord, for all the other spoken and unspoken prayer requests, again, we thank you for hearing our prayers. And we give you all the honor and glory. And everybody says, amen, in the name of Jesus. That's right, amen, amen, amen. A little change as she was playing that just now. I love that chorus, that situation of the name of Jesus. I think, if anything, my heart, I just want to lift up the Lord. So let's just do Jesus tonight as our songs as we start off. Just worship Him with us tonight. Jesus, Jesus. Gather together with my brothers, sisters in Christ, with my church family. Love each and every one of you. We just thank the Lord for all that He does. You know, as we get ready to take up our evening offering, don't forget about the Saturday, June 26th. We'll have our annual cleanup that we'll do each year. We spruce place things up, make it look good, getting the flower beds and all the other excitement. You know, God's blooms and His blessings from spring into summer, but it is a maintenance that I'm glad God can do, that He can just make the flowers grow and and all the things, the richness of the earth just shines. But we just keep our property beautiful and just get ready for everything as we get ready for homecoming, vacation Bible school. Just praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please? Amen.
What a crowd tonight. I like when he says, two or more gathered.
Yes.
Guess what? He's here.
Amen.
All right? He's here. All right. Everybody else doesn't know what they're missing. There. Instead of saying me, I should have said us.
Yeah.
Right?
Praise
Amen.
The
Lord. Amen.
Y'all look scary when you're few in number. Proud. He's got an answer for everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Y'all worship the Lord as I try to sing Child of the King in B flat.
Beyond earth is way.
I bring this up here, Brenda looks at me. I grew up on these hymns, though, and I don't ever want to forget them.
Amen.
Because they touched my heart so much growing up, because I started singing when I was 8 years old. And I think I shared this before, but Brother Jim sings Redeemed a lot. That was one of the first songs that I started singing when I was 8 years old. I would get up and sing it. I started with Jesus Loves Me. But then I went to this book right here. And I remember many days when I would get home off the bus, I would stay with my granny. And me and my granny would break out the books.
Amen.
And I have her books at home. But we would sing all kinds of hymns together. And I just don't want to ever forget them. They mean so much.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came.
if it's a foreign battlefield where I finally find your will, Lord, that's where I want to be. In the desert without a drink, on some old ship about to sink, to my knees. But there's one thing I couldn't do, so I still owe this thanks to you. For it was you, Lord, who took my
let me live. Amen. I'm so thankful for God and all that He does for us. Amen. For another day that He has given us. I'm thankful for those of you that are here tonight. We appreciate you coming. We won't keep you long tonight. We do have something. And I believe God operates in a way of His time. And I'll share with you just in a little bit. But it never ceases to amaze me how that sometimes we try to plan and God just kind of takes it over. And thank God for that He does take it over, because sometimes we may make a mess of it, and I think God has a reason and a purpose for everything. I think God has a purpose for each and every one of you being here tonight, amen, as well as the songs that were sung, even the scripture I think that we're going to read tonight. I think that God has a purpose for that, amen. So if you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Genesis to begin with. And since we're few in number tonight, I say this, and sometimes I run all over the place. We may tone it down and read some scripture and just look at this, how God would like us to see it tonight, because I think there's a very, very important and timely message in the scriptures that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Having said that, go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 21, and verse number 33. And I won't keep you standing long. We'll read one verse, and then we'll pray. Genesis chapter 21, verse number 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Again, Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love, for those who have gathered here tonight. God, for those that we're missing, Father, I pray that for them, God, that you would touch and anoint them, whatever the situations are. Those who are traveling, Father, I pray, God, that you would keep them safe. Those who may be sick and afflicted tonight, God, I pray that you would reach and touch them with your healing power. Father, but most of all right now, I just ask you, God, to lead us and guide us the way that you'd have us to go. Anoint these lips of clay, God. Lord, speak through this messenger tonight. God, let us hear a word from heaven, Lord, that might direct our paths, God, that might encourage us, that might lift us up, but more importantly, to show us what your will and your way is. And Father, we look to that word tonight to discern what your will is. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't know, but tonight for a thought, we want to use this, altar or idol, altar or idol. I spoke earlier how that the Lord seems to sometimes rearrange schedules and rearrange our intentions, not so much that our intentions are bad, but maybe sometimes we just haven't really sought the will of God, or maybe it's fact that God just wanted something changed. Because what I'm reading tonight was really what the Lord had laid upon my heart probably a week ago that I was planning for this morning's sermon. And up until yesterday evening, it was first and foremost. The scriptures that I intend to read, and of course it's a lot more scriptures, and we're not going to go into them tonight. We may at a later date. But it was trying, you know, you preachers know what I'm talking about. I was trying to formulate it in my mind and in my heart exactly the way to present it. And it seemed like everything was in hand and everything was working out. And all of a sudden, I don't even remember what it was, but I was reading the Bible and I was flipping to find another scripture. And I saw something and it jumped out at me. And that's what the Lord gave me this morning. So I said, okay, Lord, maybe this is for another time and maybe we'll read it another time. But I was led in a different direction, and thank God that He is able to lead us, and maybe what somebody in this morning's congregation may have in fact needed that the Lord laid on my heart this morning. But tonight, I want to talk about something that is very important in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament. Now, I know a lot of people read the Old Testament like a history, but there's God's statutes and precepts, many, many things that are in the Old Testament that we are still supposed to apply to our lives to walk daily in a righteous way before the Lord. I know that we have grace now. I know that we have the dispensation of the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us and direct us, as they didn't have that inwardly in the Old Testament. But how many knows this was the very foundation? This is what the Gospels preach. This is what Jesus referred to. This is what many, many apostles and Paul, they were preaching from the Old Testament. I want to focus on one thing tonight that was instrumental in the very first book of the Bible, that was in Genesis. How many remembers Abraham, the friend of God? What a title. Amen. What a blessing to be known as the friend of God. And I don't believe God placed that title on him just because he was a good pal. I believe Abraham earned that title because he was faithful to God. He obeyed the Word of God. He was true to God when many around him were not. He was faithful to God in so much that when things were going well in Abraham's life and he seemingly had everything that he needed around him, he was a very wealthy man, he was a very prominent man in his time, beautiful family, wonderful family, servants, cattle, all of these wonderful things that you might say, so be at ease, we're going to take a long time to enjoy what the Lord has given us. But God spoke to him, said, I want you to move from your homeland and from your kindred to a place where I will show you. And Abraham didn't question the Lord. He simply picked up his belongings and his children and his family and all, and he began to move. And I would imagine some of his family or servants say, Abraham, where are we going? He said, God will provide. God will show us the way. So Abraham was very, very faithful to go and go when God called him and go exactly where God called him, because God had plans for Abraham's life. So he was a friend of God, but he was also faithful to God's word. So here we find that after God had requested Abraham to move and from his homeland, and they came to a place at Beersheba, and Abraham was so thankful and so blessed that God had saw fit to lead him and guide him and direct him, he decides that he is going to basically plant a tree or a bush, which later became known as a grove, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But he planted it for the sole purpose of giving honor and glory to an everlasting God. He was very specific. It was to be a memorial that represented and gave honor to Jehovah God. Now, we understand that the paganistic people around them were still worshiping multiple gods, but God had plainly told Abraham that thou shalt have no other gods before me. So Abraham was true to God's word, and he built this, or planted this grove, or this bush, or tree. It's a certain kind of a tree. I think it's called a Tarshish tree, but it's a wonderful and a beautiful tree. So he planted that as a memorial and an altar to God, not an idol, but an altar to God, so that when people saw that, they would not understand and know what the story was. He was doing it in honor to God. Now, over the years, many, many things have been made. Many, many things have been manufactured that in the original state, it was to do good. But in the hands of maybe unscrupulous people, the thing that was meant to be good for society turned out to be detrimental or harmful. I'm not going to name any specific things, but you understand and know that not all things that were made were for bad intentions. They were made for good intentions, but something happened and they became bad intentions. Bible history tells us that 41 times in the Old Testament alone, the word groves are mentioned. And only one out of those 41 times that they are listed, was it ever for honor of Jehovah God. And that was the initial one that Abraham built in Beersheba when he built it and offered up praise and sacrifice unto God. But every other time where we read in the Bible, it was used for idol worship. Originally, not so much from the children of Israel, but they began to let other nature things or other things that other nations were doing begin to infiltrate their worship. Can I just pause just a moment and remind the church today, and when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the church world. Too many times, many of the church world today have let things in the world infiltrate the church. They've let things that shouldn't have come into the church be accepted in the church. How many knows that we still have to obey God's word rather than political correctness, rather than popular opinion, or rather than what some news media might say? So these things have a way of filtering in. Now we also understand that years later, after the children of Israel had gone down to Egypt, you know, through Jacob and his sons, Joseph and all, and they became so multiplied that finally they became enslaved to the children of Israel. I mean, to the children or to the nation of Egypt. But after some 400 years, God saw fit to free them and bring them out of Egyptian bondage. And here they go on their journey to Canaan land or the promised land, amen, through the wilderness. So the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 34, verse number 11, God gave a commandment. Now how many knows there are more than 10 in the Bible? There are 10 prominent commandments, but there's commandments throughout the Word of God. And we've talked in the past how that God is a God of covenants. God is a God of promise. God does not break His promise. God does not break His covenant. And He expects us to live by the commandments of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we are to adhere to and obey. So God speaking to Moses and the leaders of Israel as they're coming out of Egyptian bondage, and He tells them as they go into these nations are paganistic, they worship idols, and God is explicitly tell them, have no part of that. You're going to be able to overcome them. You're going to be able to be victorious because I'm going to be with you. But refrain, in fact, observe thou, in verse 11, this is the 34th chapter, observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest. Let it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But listen to what he says in verse number 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. He's very specific here about what he is supposed to do. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So we find that the instructions that came from God. Now understand, the grove itself was not the problem. In fact, tradition has continued in that frame of mind. If you think about it, the groves that the pagans built, they first of all began to erect or make these plants and trees, and then they began to erect idols. Some were made of stone, some were made of precious metal. Some, we read, were even made from wood itself. But they were there as a shrine to multiple gods. Some place in the Bible said gods of the heavens. the different gods, the moon gods, the sun gods. But we know there is no God other than Jehovah God. And he plainly tells the children of Israel, I am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, as the saying is today, what part of no don't you understand? That's basically what he's telling the children of Israel. You're going to go through these strange customs. You're going to overtake these enemies. I'm going to make you be victorious. But have no dealings with them whatsoever. Do not let that infiltrate your true worship of God, of Jehovah God. So for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Again, let us go to 1 Kings. So God was victorious through the children of Israel. We all know the story. He brought them through the wilderness, and he brought them through the many, many enemies that were there. They were victorious over each and every one, but God was very adamant about going in and destroying the groves. I started down a little story there, but I want to share with you before I forget it. I talked about the tradition that happens and the things that are handed down from one generation to the next. We're going to read a little bit how that it did finally infiltrate the nation of Israel. But think about it today. Almost every courthouse or municipal building, many of those have statues that have been erected. And most of those have some type of landscaping, bushes, trees, or something around them, which is nice. It looks good, and it's probably in honor of some person who was in political hierarchy, or someone who was in maybe the service, or maybe someone who was founded the city, or whatever it is. And it's always been a nice little tribute to those people. Understand, it goes all the way back. But again, it didn't infiltrate here so much that we worship that idol. But they did in the lands around Israel. And all of that goes way, way back to history. And if you understand, Israel was in the middle of all of that. And how easily it is to be swayed when everybody else around you is doing something, but you've been told to have no part of that or nothing to do with that. And Satan comes and makes it seem very tantalizing. And one of his greatest weapons is, look, it's not hurting them. Why don't you go ahead and participate? And that can be anything from not only idolatry, but it can lead into other things that Satan will lead us down that trail. So after several years, and after the children of Israel had been founded, and the children of Israel were now prominently abiding in the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, and God blessed them. You remember, they wanted a king. See, first of all, they didn't have a king, but the other nations had a king. So God gave them Saul, and Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel. And you know, Saul was disobedient unto God, and you know the story, and I'm hitting the highlights now. But then David became the king, David, the man after God's own heart. And then after David, Solomon. And then Solomon had a son. And then things begin to go a little bit away from God. Slowly but surely, things begin to creep in. Other modes of worship. Marrying into the other nations, and those people bringing their ideology or their religious traditions into Israel, and there began to be a mixing pot of different ways to observe God. Almost like it is today when you hear someone say, it's all right as long as you worship a God. That's not found in the Bible, folks. And if we have to believe something, I want to believe the Bible. We have been lulled asleep by those who will say, just live any way you want to, worship any way you want to. Whoever your God is, he's a God of love, and you're going to be all right. I don't find that in the Bible either. I do find that God is love, but I don't want to find that I can worship any God. But it was so tempting and so tantalizing that here we find in 1 Kings chapter number 14, verses 21 through 24. That's what we just read, ain't it? Nope, that's not what we read. Okay, don't let me get ahead of myself. I'm so excited about this, and I know it about the groves and all, but what my point is tonight, I'm not trying to give you so much a history lesson because it's right there for you to read, but I am trying to warn you how that these things can creep in to the modern day church, folks. And we'll probably get there a little bit later on. But here it is, the very thing God said no. You know, like Adam and Eve. The very thing. He gave them every entrance to all the gardens around, all the other fruit. But the one thing that he said, no, do not touch, do not eat of it. And that's the one thing that Satan finally deceived them into taking. And isn't that the way it is today? That's the way Satan is. The things that God tells us not to do, you won't surely die. God surely won't be upset with you if you do that. But the word is true, folks. It's very, very true. Okay, so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14, beginning with verse number 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves and every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Just a little bit of refreshing from where we began with Abraham, through Jacob, through Isaac, and then through Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Israel, and then them coming out of Egyptian bondage and settling in the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey, the promised land that God gave them. Now we're not even four generations from Saul till we find that they're already disobeying the word of God. The things that were held to be true to their ancestors, the things that God had blessed them with. They knew the stories. They had the Mosaic law that was reading there before them. It was rehearsed before them. But yet they were so tempted by what the rest of the world was doing around them. And folks, you can say all you want to about peer pressure doesn't affect you, but it does. It is a very strong weapon that Satan uses. And he's using it in the churches today. Political correctness is run amok, and things have been allowed to creep into the church, to come into the church that should not be and that are not according to the Word of God. Not to get any specific things, but I think every one of us pretty much knows what we're talking about. So then we find that from that time over to verse or chapter number 16, we find a character by the name of Ahab. Ahab now comes on the scene. And just a few generations from David and Solomon, who was so pleasing unto God, and when God promised him to give anything that he wanted, Solomon said, just give me wisdom. Just give me wisdom to govern this great people that you've given. And God was so pleased with his request that not only did he give him wisdom, but he gave him great wealth and health and all of those wonderful things too. But now we find that just a few generations after that, Ahab comes on the scene. And listen what the Bible says about Ahab. Let's begin, chapter number 16 of 1 Kings. Let's look up at verse number 30 first. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Of all the lot, Ahab was the worst. And that's not good company to be in. There was a lot of evil from different kings. You remember reading, they would name a king and he did good in the sight of the Lord, or he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now Ahab comes, he's worse than all of them. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. You see how little things creep in to the groves. 41 times in the Old Testament, groves are mentioned. Only one was pleasing to God. The others may have been built similarly. They may have been erected for some other reason, but yet idolatry crept in. And you remember how God was adamant about worshiping idols. Thou shalt have no other God. Didn't matter what it looked like. You remember even the children of Israel erected that golden calf in the wilderness when Moses was on the mountain. And God was so displeased with that. And God does not want the church to have other idols today. It may not be statues, it may not be figurines or anything like that, but if we let anything stand before us and God or become an idol to us, God is displeased with that. In verse number 33, and we're going to try to bring it to a close. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that went before him. And I want to leave you with this. Abraham made a grove, and it was pleasing unto God. He made it as an altar and a memorial unto the everlasting God. Ahab, on the other hand, makes a grove. But in his grove, rather than an altar to the everlasting God, there's a statue or an idol of Baal, a pagan god. And you remember how God was so displeased with paganistic worship and the worship of Baal. And you remember Elijah, one of the prophets prayed, you know, sent fire down from heaven, and it destroyed all those prophets of Baal that were around there. So Baal was a big, big thing. It was popular, okay? That might be the modern word or the modern term that would cause some to turn from traditional worship, or not only traditional worship, but the worship of the Word of the Lord. Amen. We cannot let things creep in to the worship. We cannot let things creep in, amen, to the Word of God and change our focus or change our dedication and our faithfulness from God. God is the one, the only one, amen, that created the world. I believe the Word of God is true. And people may tell you a number of different things, but we have got to stay true to the Word of God. And I had so many other things, but like I said, God has plans for different things. I was going to try to preach about the things that have crept into the church today, but basically, from the congregation that we got tonight, and most all of the congregation are seasoned saints of God, and I say that as a compliment, that you're steadfast in the Word of God. But I wanted to remind us that how things can change from generation to generation to generation and get watered down a little bit, and we need to stay true to this. We really, really need to stay true to the Word of God, because this will stand. The Bible says even when the world passes away, the Word of God is going to stand. God bless you. I love you so much. Thank you for coming out on a Sunday night. It's been an eventful day, to say the least. We got home just about 15 minutes before it was time to get to church, but it's been a good day. We got to spend some time with some family. Katie was doing recitals today, so we got to see that. And very thankful for that. But I'm thankful for each and every one of you that came tonight. And I pray God's blessing upon you. We're going to be leaving in the morning. We're going to go and be off for about a week and take a camping trip up to the mountains. So we'll be thinking about you. But we know that you're going to be in good hands here, and the Lord's going to have a wonderful service lined up for you. So we'll be praying for you as y'all will be praying for us as we travel. Amen. Would you stand tonight? Certainly do not want to close the service without giving you an opportunity. If you need prayer tonight, please come forward. Amen. We still believe in a healing God. We believe He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Does anyone need prayer tonight? Amen. Well, glory to God.
Brother Jim, come and dismiss us with the Word of God. Word of prayer unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. What a powerful day in the Lord. The message is going forth. His Word, I know from Sunday school all the way through now. But you know that it's not just here that we can reach out to God. He's with us at all times if we allow Him. And just let Him be in our life. And as they travel and all the others have traveled, I know part of our family got back yesterday. The other part, hopefully, will be back around Tuesday. And I know there are many more is either going on vacation or coming back. This is that season. school's out, everybody's going, y'all be careful out there and just let the Lord just guide you and be safe in all that we do. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. Well, don't forget about our service Wednesday night. You're all invited. Love to have you. All of you watching live, if you have a prayer request or even a later date, if you have a comment you want to put in there or a prayer request, please type it in and we'll be more than glad. Because it's not us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. That's what we stand for here. Well, with all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to go ahead and dismiss with this prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, again, thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your powerful name. Dear Lord, as we prepare to close this service, Lord, we thank you again for your word. And, dear Lord, we in your encouragement, dear Lord, your answering prayers, your lifting up, dear Lord, your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that is felt amongst each and every one of us. Lord, as we prepare to leave, dear Lord, we ask that you'll keep us safe. Bring it back at our appointed time for those that are traveling this week on vacation or for business. Lord, we ask for you to keep them safe, dear Lord. Keep your hand of protection around them. Those that are coming back from their trips, Lord, the same thing. Just keep us safe on the highways and byways, our daily walk with work. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of praise, for the answered prayers. And, dear Lord, now with expectations and with our love for you, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful first part of the week. See y'all Wednesday.